right. Well, I just pressed record. You know, so if you're not ready, Phil, there's no turning back. Do you have anything to say in the pre-show here as we get ready?
Not much, but
How's Pearl? Does she still feel like a caged animal?
Oh, not at all. Not at all. Just, yeah. It's cabin fever, not caged animal.
Oh, no. Okay. Fred's theory now is that, you know, she feels like she's being held hostage.
I'm keeping her locked in a basement.
Yeah, it's like Chinese Stockholm syndrome. It's like Chinese syndrome.
It's Nanjing syndrome. Ha, yeah.
Mm-hmm. September. You know, September's almost over, nerds. Paul Romanuk's our guest. Romanuk.
You know, this vaccine passport stuff is complicating her life, though, because Pearlie's vaccination card is in Cambodian. So we actually have to call Phnom Penh, ask a translator to send us a translation, maybe, and see if that works. So.
Why not just get her family to mail the card?
No, she has the card in her hand. It's in another language. So,
I see what you
mean. Trying to get a translation to it in English, so you know people at McDonald's will understand before they kick us out.
Oh, I see.
Yeah.
So it's in a different language,
right? Because The one thing about the vaccination system in Ontario, it's not very welcoming to people who don't have Ontario vaccinations.
So if you didn't, that's why it should have been a national program. I know that doesn't address your.
No, I just think that there should
situation.
Been, I just think even if it, let's say even if the province or the city of Toronto was working on it, at least they should have a way to explain that, you know, as long as you've got a translation, you are vaccinated in another country, You'll be fine. Okay. But there's no guideline for that. So,
is she? Have you caught her sending rescue notes to her family?
No. She, you know, the one thing that she copes with, you know, remember, she's an immigrant to Canada. Her home was 12,000 K away. So what she does now is she talks to her mother, my mother-in-law, about politics in Cambodia.
Oh.
So she's just compensating by, you know, talking about old times.
Is she withholding affections from you?
Mm. Why is she withholding anything?
No, I'm just asking. Go ahead.
No, does she? Is she?
No, she's not withholding anything at all. No.
Did she help free the two Michaels?
Well, she did phone her local MP in Cambodia, and they said, hold on, those two Michaels are from Canada. Why are we talking about them?
So when you guys are fighting like this, does she withhold affection?
We don't fight. We grumble, but that's about it.
Yeah. When she says things like, you've taken me away from my family and you're hiding me in this basement.
I'm the one hiding in the basement right now.
All right. How often does she initiate, you know,
lovemaking?
I'm going to see if she's around or not, because I don't think she wants that answer to be, you know, broadcast. Oh, okay. It's a bunch of times a month, obviously.
So. Oh, very nice.
Oh, wow.
Very nice.
I can't tell you exactly.
He's waving.
Does she, all right, well.
I know your English is improving.
Does she know how much we talk about her?
She knows. She knows about it. And I asked her if she's, what her emotions are to it or how she reacts to it. And she's like, it doesn't matter. Just don't talk about the adult stuff.
Yeah, okay.
This situation you're in, will this require her to visit home like once a year or something, do you think?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, no doubt.
That's a lot of money.
Well, I've already done that for the past 6 years.
No, of course you have. Is she allowed to know where you work? Are you not allowed to tell her?
She's happy where I work. That's all I'm going to say.
All right.
She's happy about it.
But she met you, you were a big radio star on satellite radio and syndicated radio. How does she feel now that you're just some guy barking into his computer in the basement and then you go work at this meatball factory?
Well, you know, I'm close to home.
Okay.
I get to see her more often. What's the problem with that?
I don't know. I'm at, but you didn't
ask. You didn't answer. Not exactly, Zsa Zsa Gabor.
I know, but you were a big radio star.
Big?
answer this. Where you work, does it rhyme with idea?
Actually, it rhymes with KFC.
Yeah. All right. Okay, well, let's start the show then. Phil, why don't we do that?
The following episode of Humble and Fred is brought to you by the Retirement Sherpa, Gig Sky, The Chambers Plan, Health Gauge, Bodog, and our newest sponsor, Doer, D-U-E-R, the world's most comfortable pants. If you'd like to talk to Humble and Fred, well, we have a Facebook account, obviously. And now, from the remote headquarters of the Humble and Fred Show, here are Humble and Fred.
Does the place you work rhyme with idea? That's funny shit right there, people.
It rhymes with Volkswagen.
All right. Big show today. Paul Romanek returns. We're going to talk, you know, it's funny. We haven't really had a lot of cannabis chat. We did yesterday, and we're going to have some more today. You know what it is? It's prospecting season. That's right. No, always be prospecting. Lots to get to today. Phil's back with us, which is always welcome. Caught up yesterday with a couple old friends in person, actually. We had lunch with our, we spoke about this. The guy that got us started in sales in terms of reaching out. And we'll talk more about Bill, of course, on our anniversary show on the 14th. But it was nice seeing him in person. I'll tell you, he's a 77-year-old man that looks like he could take both of us.
Oh, yeah.
And easily, not with a lot of struggle, not like, oh, you guys. It looks like he would hold one of us off with his strong, you know, he's burly, big-chested, but he's, and then the other one, he was just sort of beat on a little bit and then take turns.
No, leaving there yesterday, I felt very good about the prospects for the next decade or so. You can't help but think, geez, if Bill's like that at 77, why couldn't I be like that at 77?
Well, I can answer.
I guess he looks after.
I can answer that. I can answer that.
What's
that?
Because
we're not like that at 65 and 61.
Oh, come on.
He's in better shape than we are. He's stronger than we are. He could rough us up if he wanted to. I mean, he wouldn't. I don't think, because he's like a father figure.
Okay, I'm not necessarily talking about strength or being able to kick the shit out of us. I'm just saying.
No, I know.
You know, he doesn't. He sits there like a guy who you wouldn't think was 77.
No, that's what I'm saying too. He looks great,
and I hope I'm like that at 77 or close to it.
Yeah, we should all be. You know, he takes care of himself. But I think he's always been a big sort of strong man. Strong. Anyway, so it was good seeing him, 77-year-old man. Then we hung out with Boone in his backyard and did another deep dive into the Humble and Fred experience. It was a pleasant afternoon, actually.
I was blown away by when I got back in my truck. It was like 28.
Yeah.
It was humid yesterday. Did they even call for that? I haven't been keeping track.
Once it gets
to this time of the year, I'm not, you know, weather doesn't seem to mean as much.
Well, I'm still keeping track of it because, you know, it's golf season until December. Yesterday's forecast was for the early 20s. I don't know if it was calling for that kind of humidity. When I said it was a pleasant afternoon, I meant sitting in the backyard at Boone's place. It was quite pleasant. It was a perfect temperature. No quarreling. I thought you were a little bit, like, I'm looking at the picture now, you were wearing a hoodie, which I thought was a bit much.
Well, yeah, when I went out in the morning, I thought I would need that. And then I sat down and I thought I should take this off, but we're behind this table and wires and all that stuff, and I just never got around to it. Standing up, taking it off, putting it somewhere, all the things that, you know, all the motions that are required for taking off a jacket. Yeah. You know, you'd want to talk to me.
No. Would you do me a favor? Could you get a diagram to show me? So what do? You put it on, you take it off? Is that what's happening?
You have to stand up and then take it off. And we were in a sort of restricted area.
Well, I was told by Rachel. Told is the wrong word. I dropped her off yesterday and she just looked at what I was wearing and she said, "You're not going to wear that to lunch, are you?" Mm-hmm. And I was like, "Why not?" And it was basically what you were wearing, except in a long sleeve. And then I looked down, and of course, you know, I had some food on it. So I changed anyway. But sometimes when she tells me those things, I feel like I should push back, even though she's right. Do you know what I mean? Like that feeling sometimes when somebody tells you something and you know it's right, but you want to push back anyway because you're just like, ah.
Oh, yeah. I think it stems from the fact that they're so right so often.
I know, it's annoying.
No, it is. Yeah. I know, I find myself in that situation too. It's like, stop picking on me. Well, I'm not picking on you. I'm telling you, you have spaghetti down the front of your shirt and you're about right. to go out in public.
No, I know.
How is that picking on you?
That's what I felt too. I'm like, why are you always bugging me about what I'm wearing? And she's like, because one time I found food on your back. You had spaghetti on your back or something. You know, and she was like, she's always very concerned with how clear my glasses are. And sometimes she'll take them from me and she goes, you know, you can't see through these. I'm like, I don't care. Anyway, Phil's here. Romanek's back. I wanted to mention the Boone thing. So I go to Boone's place before I got there before you. And we went right from the lunch with Bill, 77-year-old Bill, who looks great. And then I went to Boone's place and I said, Boone, can I go to the washroom? I said, I'll just go in the bushes. So I did. I mean, he says, yeah, we had this conversation about how great it is to pee outside. That's the whole point of being outside when you're a guy. And I went over there by his shed, and all was fine. No one, no harm, no foul. Then, of course, when the hour, I'm looking here, it was hour 24-minute recording was done, I had to pee again. So I did the same thing. I went way in the back of his backyard, and I was having a whiz there. No one could see. Then I turn around, of course, and there's Mrs. Boone. You know, I was just finishing up, and I'm like, oh, my God. I've already ruined this woman's wedding, and now she's got to watch, you know, old man Howie
have a leak. Wait, the Boones don't have a washroom?
I'm doing it outside. It was a nice day. You do it outside.
The only problem with that is the first time you go to the back of the yard, you have a leak. Now you got pecker sweat all over your hands and you're touching all his equipment.
All right, I'm sorry. Hey, hang on a second. You have one? You did one?
Pecker sweat.
Oh, yeah.
It was a warm day yesterday. There you are handling your goods.
Oh, yeah.
Peeing in someone's
backyard. True. Then you come back and you sit down, you're touching this, you're touching that. Did he not have some wipes or anything that he could have used?
I think I may have wiped my hand on my
pants.
Yeah, probably. Well, first of all, I don't think there was any pecker sweat. Okay, Dr. Phil.
There was. Howard, no, it was 28 and humid.
I know, but there wasn't any
moisture. You were sitting
moisture.
In a restaurant
yeah.
for 2 hours.
Well, I don't know what to tell you. There was no pecker sweat. Like, okay. Like, what's going on with your, what's
what
going
are you
on
like
down
Prince
there?
Andrew, you don't sweat?
No, I sweat, but the end of my appendage wasn't covered in sweat. You know, I wasn't reaching down underneath my bag and checking it out.
You can have it on your shaft.
Okay. All right. Yeah, we know what
I can't believe I have to explain this stuff to
you. No, you know you're right. You know what I did with it?
I know I'm
right. I wiped it on your hoodie. Anyway, if you want to listen to the episode, it's I don't know how new and if there was anything new. But it was a nice conversation and you know, there was at one moment there were a little bit of prickliness. When Boone wanted us to reveal, you know, what we have earned doing this podcast for 10 years, and we said no. I was getting, what I was going to do was give a round figure, and even that you said, no, don't do that. I agree.
Nobody needs to know that.
No.
Like, what's to be gained by that?
No gain. Anyway.
We've been doing it for 10 years. We're still doing it. And we're enjoying ourselves. And we have sponsors. Life is good. That's the end of it.
Yeah.
Beginning, middle, and end of story.
Yeah. No, you're right. Phil, what kind of moisture hangs around your tiny beanie?
Well, considering you guys know that I have a hoodie.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, so I'm dirty enough to go to a washroom and wash my hands in a sink whenever I feel like doing that. It's just weird. I don't know. I'd be too anxious to do that behind someone's shed.
No, it was shed. That was a nice shed, too. He said he bought it for $2,000 at Costco, and it cost him a couple grand to get it assembled. That part was, I found that a bit odd. Like, why would it be so much money to have somebody put that together?
I don't know, because if you know what you're doing, there's probably 3 or 4 hours work there. So that's a big hourly ticket there. If that's,
yeah, that's what I was thinking.
Sure, he said Monica knew. It sounded excessive to me. Like, believe me, if I bought a $2,000 shed, I'm not sure I would be prepared to pay somebody $2,000 to assemble it. I might go $500 or something.
Well, because that's what I was gonna ask you that.
Well, they can be a pain in the ass. There's no doubt about it. But these guys that put them together at Costco and Home Depot that they send over to your house, they've done it so many times before. It's like bing, bang, boom. So it's not going to take them hours and hours and hours.
Yeah,
like,
that's what I was.
That bill run up to $2,000.
Yeah, I was going
to
say, that's 10 hours at $200 an hour.
It's not going to take.
It can't take 20 hours at $100 an hour.
Unless, that I'm thinking about it, if they built the platform or the foundation, that was part cement of the price.
Yeah.
Because it's got to go on something.
Yeah, it sits on a cement pad, so maybe that was the expense.
Well, now we're talking.
Yeah.
Two grand makes sense now, then.
The concrete was probably $700, $800, or $1,000, right?
Well, you got to form it, you got to pour it. I mean, that's grown-up work. Yeah. By the way, speaking of sweating, have you seen this story up near Sudbury at the nickel mine? 39 miners trapped below ground. Now, they're all right. They know where they are, and they can get food and water and everything to them. Apparently, you know, a piece of equipment got stuck in the shaft, which meant that they couldn't get out. So they're, but can you believe, like, who go, it's 1,200 meters below the surface. Like, what a way to make a living. Like, could you even imagine that? I mean, I know you're a bit claustrophobic. I am too. I just can't imagine that going down and down and down and down, because I'd always be afraid or conscious of getting stuck down there like these guys. But again, it was no collapse or anything. There's something just stuck in the shaft, so they're going to be out later today.
Yeah,
but I'll talk about sweat. The feeling I would have being that far underground, not being able to get out for any reason, would drive me crazy.
Yeah, you said 1,200 meters. It's got to be deeper than that, because that's less than
3,600 feet.
No, okay, but that's not, 3/4 of a mile.
Yeah, so that's a long way.
You're
stuck in an elevator.
Okay. Yeah. No, I'm sure it is a long way, and I agree with most of what you're saying, although I'm not claustrophobic. Remember I spent 48 hours in a coffin?
Right. But that's like 2 CN towers, isn't it?
And I'm not disputing that. I thought miners, and correct me if I'm wrong, went down a lot further than 3/4 of a mile.
I don't know. I guess maybe it all depends on what you're mining, too.
Yeah.
Maybe. But I'll tell you that, because I thought that's like being down underground, 2 CN towers. I wouldn't. That's, you know, I'd rather.
No.
I'd rather work at Leon's
or IDEA. In the event of something happening to me. No, I'm not claustrophobic.
I thought you.
I am afraid of heights.
Like, yeah. All heights. That's what. Yes. It is.
And I'm not disputing. Again, that seems like a long way. It just doesn't seem as. Anyway,
why, like, gold mines and that are a lot deeper?
Aren't they miles underground? I don't know.
I don't know how.
I don't know either. I'll tell you what, though. I do know that we're going to get to some emails here in a second. But first, you know who has the world's most comfortable pants for men and women? I do. Doer does. D-U-E-R. Doer. These are natural materials in combination with technical And they achieve breathability, comfort and strength for everyday wear. If you go to their website, and I wish you would go to Doer.ca, and you'll see what we're talking about. These are the world's most comfortable pants for men and women. You can check out their some of their best sellers are there. The Performance Denim Slim, the Denim Relax, the No Sweat. Speaking of which, Fred, the No Sweat Pant Slim, and really, these are the kind of pants you're going to wear. You can wear out. You look good in them, but they're also, you know, comfortable enough when it's cozy pant time. You know, at that time of the day where you want to, you know, go home, take off your regular pants, put on your cozy pants. With Doer, you don't have to. You're already wearing your cozy pants. Use code HUMBLEANDFRED15. That's HUMBLEANDFRED15 for 15% off your next order. Doer, do it, doer.ca.
Hey, the Chamber's plan, Canada's number one group benefits plan for small business. Go to chamberplan.ca, get a free quote. You know, each time I visit, you know, I concentrate on a certain area, and, you know, as things are opening up, you might want to just look at the travel insurance dimension of the Chamber's plan. It really is fantastic. Never again will you have to phone your credit card company. Insurance. You know that, and it's exorbitant. And,
oh, yeah.
You know, it doesn't make sense. Listen, as part of the Chamber plan, you're well looked after when you're not in Canada. And that's a significant part of any benefits package, you know, on top of prescriptions and dental insurance and other kinds of therapy and what have you. 30,000 Canadian businesses, part of the Chamber plan. They've been around for 40 years. Very stable. They're keeping, you know, the lid or the cap. They're keeping premiums under control, even during these tough times. Another bonus to being part of the Chamber's plan, okay? Yeah, 30,000 Canadian businesses, been around 40 years. That's pretty stable. Get on it today, chamberplan.ca.
Hi, guys.
Email.
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 It's time for
It's time
email.
For MS.
Phil. Hi, guys.
Hi, Phil.
Hi, guys.
Hi, Phil.
Hi, guys.
Hi, Phil.
Arapipa.
Arapipa.
Hi, guys.
Arapipa.
Hi, guys.
Hi, guys.
All right, all right, all right. All right. All right. Why don't you take the one from Darren Shanahan, because this actually goes to something that came up at the Boon Chat yesterday. We were talking about guests that we would like to have on the show, and you brought up this guest.
Hi, guys. Darren Shanahan.
Hi, guys.
Hi guys. Don't want a shout out nor a response, but I just heard you with Boone discussing Will Arnett. The Smartless guys had Brendan Shanahan on, no relation to me. So maybe Duthie, James Duthie, or Merrick could get you in touch with Brendan Shanahan. Food for thought would be a great show. And in the body of this, he said, please, no cock is yummy jokes. But he's gone to Carolina now, so he won't come up as often.
Who, cock is yummy?
Cock is yummy.
Cock is yummy?
Mm-hmm.
He's not.
But that's, yes, I heard that episode. That was one of the very first episodes of Smartless, like maybe a couple of years ago now. And I assume that Will Arnett was friends with Brendan Shanahan because they both grew up in the Etobicoke area. But apparently Shanahan was friends with Jason Bateman first, and then Will met him that way, from what I understand. All I know is that Brendan Shanahan's part of that pack, so much so that he was a guest on Smartless.
Yeah, you know,
talking about being a president of a National Hockey League team.
Yeah, early on, in the early days when I was catching up to you and your Smartless consumption, I thought that was an odd, when I saw the, on the episode description, I thought that was an odd choice. But, you know, they're very diverse. I was going to mention the recent one. I'm not sure if you've heard Ken Burns yet.
Yes, I have.
You know, like a lot of Smartless episodes, I tend to listen to them as I'm going to sleep, and then I have to go back and listen to them again because I fall asleep. I thought it was fascinating talking to Ken Burns. They were about all the documentaries he's done, and it made me want to watch the Ali documentary. Have you any interest in that, and do you know where it's available?
Sure. No. I have interest. I don't know where it's available, but you know, this thing in front of you, this computer thing and the Google thing, that'll tell you like in seconds.
Mm-hmm. I know, but I'm asking you if you knew.
No, I don't. Listen, I know I'm a fountain of information, I can't keep up with Google.
Yeah, I know. I could Google it. I was just having a conversation with you.
Peck or sweat.
Cock is yummy. Anyway. Yeah, I enjoyed the episode. They've had a couple of sort of diverse, you know, I don't know about you, but I go back and listen to episodes I like. Like, I've listened to the Tina Fey episode a couple times. I've listened to Stephen Colbert a couple times. Mm-hmm. Thank you, Darren Shanahan, for... that's actually not a bad... I mean, we're trying to figure out a way to get Will Arnett on the show. Why not go down that route?
I was going
to
make that point. Over the past couple of years, I have reached out to the sort of media guy at MLSE, and the response I got was quite quick. Brendan doesn't do that type of thing.
All right.
But I guess when the call comes from Jason Bateman and Will Arnett, the rules change a bit, which is sort of sad, but... that's reality.
But maybe if it came through...
if Brendan Shanahan was your bud or something, or my bud, he'd be on the show.
But maybe if we got through Merrick or some way to get a note to... anyway, I think it's a... listen, they're coming to town. I know everyone's going to want to get an interview with Bateman or Hayes or Will Arnett when they come here in February. But, you know, it's a noble quest, Fred. It's a noble quest.
No, so what are you saying? No, he's recommending that we talk... to Merrick about getting Shanahan on. Oh, okay.
No, and through Shanahan, we get Shanahan, then we get Arnett.
Oh, I see. Oh, master plan.
Jesus, man.
Master plan. I get it.
Oh, you're such a fountain of information. Mm-hmm. Why don't you Google what I just said? this is from, this is, first of all, thank you, David J. Kemp, for sending a note. If you know anything about The Humble and the Fred, you know we don't read really long notes. This is one of the longest emails we've seen in recent history. It's basically, he said, I was listening to the podcast, heard your story about looking for your club when I threw a club a week ago into a bush, into a tree, into a forest. It reminded me, he says, of an experience he had in Arkansas where a bunch of his buddies went golfing. And it was sort of off season. There weren't very many people on the course, and it was kind of a light, drizzly day. So it was very, very sparse in terms of people playing. And every time they hit their balls into the trees, they would go to where they thought their balls went in, and they would see not a couple, but many golf balls at the edge of the forest. And this happened three or four times. And they were picking up brand new, you know, TaylorMade's and other brand names, and they were, their pockets were filled with golf balls. Anyway, it turns out that at that golf course, you're not supposed to go into the forest because of a certain cottonmouth snake. And as he says here, most snakes will stay away from you, but the cottonmouth is a prick and will attack. Anyway, so thanks for that. I'm sort of summarizing a long email. They got a ton of golf balls, and even they didn't get bitten by the snake, is the story. Okay. Anyway, that's the story from David J. Kemp.
So what's the idea?
David.
They put balls there. I'm slow here. They put balls there so you don't go in, so you can just replace your ball?
No, what? People don't go in to look for their balls.
Right.
So they just leave them there.
Oh, so when he looked in, he saw the sea of golf balls.
When he looked in, they went into the forest. I could have just read the email. Mm-hmm. they go into the forest, but the forest... no one goes in the forest to look for their balls. So that's why
guys did, because they started collecting them. Yeah, so they were
didn't
taking...
know. They didn't know. You see? Okay. They didn't know that you
the
shouldn't go.
The forest is full of snake balls.
Yes, Phil.
Hi, guys.
And the last one here for you, Frederick.
Jeff Thorne.
To read, yes.
Email.
This is from Jeff Horn. He says, Howard, you mentioned the video of PPC candidate Daryl Mackey arrested at a Tim Hortons. I managed to find the link. I thought you might want to share it. I guess he couldn't get a seat in Timmy's, let alone Parliament. So did he send you the link? And what was the deal? Was that it?
Yeah, we played it. I played a little bit of it yesterday.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah, he's just looking for trouble, this fella. Just looking for trouble. One last thing. I was driving up through Fred and Dan's neck of the woods earlier this summer, and I was wondering if Fred resides on or near the area he stayed as a young lad. Yes, exactly where I stayed, on the same lake, since I was 8 years old. Also, how long have Dan and Fred been neighbors? I assume he means at the lake, and that's since 1994. I've been his direct neighbor since 2013, but we have been close proximity in that wonderful place since 1994.
What? Wait. No.
What?
I thought you just moved next door to him recently.
I just said that, 2013.
Oh, okay, but 1994 is when he moved up there.
Yeah, so, you know, it's a trailer park, for Christ's sake. It's like we're close. So since 94, we've sort of been together in that park since 2013.
Right, okay.
Side by side. Thanks for all the great shows, guys. Shout-outs to Phil, Dan, and Toronto Mike. You make my day better. Regards from a proud Patreon.
Yeah, we appreciate that. We mentioned yesterday we're going to put together very quickly, maybe even next week, and we should talk about this. Because the 14th is only a couple weeks away, right? Or 2 weeks and a half away.
Yes.
So we can either do the Patreon Thursday night get together this Thursday or the following Thursday, because I do want to do it before we do the anniversary show. Because these people are giving us money every month, and you can too. Go check out our Patreon page. The details are at humbleandfred.com. I want to ask you about going up to the same lake that you've been going to since you were a baby. And I don't want to tell people where it is, but just keep, because I know where it is. Are you actually on the same lake or around the same lake?
I'm on the same lake.
So where your trailer is now, the palace, where would you have kind of frolicked as a young Fred man? You know, before the ball sweat.
When I've taken you out for a boat.
Before the ball sweat era.
When I've taken you out for a boat ride. Do you recall we go through this little channel and then there's a whole bunch of boats at docks, like maybe 100 of them?
Towards Darren or the other way?
No, the other way.
Yeah, I don't think I've ever gone the other way.
Yeah, I'm down that way. Yeah, I've taken you through there. I'm sure I have.
I've never gone through the locks, man.
No, never. Not through the locks. Where I am, you just go down the channel a bit and around and down, and that's where I was.
I've never been there.
Anyway. So where Darren is, it's the wide open part of
yes,
the lake.
Yes.
I'm the other way. down towards the locks and the dam.
Okay, the reason I ask that is because, you know, where I grew up in Moose Jaw, you know,
yes.
I haven't been back there very often. In fact, you know, we've talked about one of the few times I have gone back. I've been with you. And of course, we went and knocked on the door of the house I grew up in. The reason I ask, because is it weird? Not weird. What's it like being your age now and being in such a familiar place that you've been going since you were a 5, 6, 7-year-old kid? Is it odd? Does it give you good feelings? Does it give you weird feelings? What are your feelings?
No, that's a good question, because many times over the years I thought, what am I doing? Maybe it's time to give this up or try somewhere new. I don't know. It's hard to explain. I have such special childhood memories from that place that going back there as an adult and then meeting such a great group of people, and then just, I don't know, it sort of feels like home away from home.
Yeah. But you kind of know what I'm asking. Like most of us, me in particular, I'm not. I can't. And you know, you grew up. I've asked you this about growing up in Toronto. You know, I've lived in, you know, Eastern Canada for half my life. Although when I think of, you know, my home, I think of Moose Jaw in Saskatchewan, but I don't get to see it. Whereas you drive by, you know, you go to a place every weekend where you could just sort of look over here and like, oh, that's where I got my first boner. You know, that kind of thing.
Right. And that's part of it.
Yeah, I
Not
guess.
Specifically, but it's just been part of my life. It's my home away from home.
Yeah.
And just the way it... Listen, if that was a normal trailer park, this, you know, I wouldn't have been there as long as I have, but it's sort of a unique situation. So it is like having... In a lot of ways, it's like having a cottage. So, and you know, other people have cottages for 20, 25, 30 years. It's sort of your place.
And I'm not going to dwell on this, but I was trying to get to that. I couldn't think of the word. Is it more like a, because I sometimes get a melancholy feeling.
Oh, yes, it is. Yes. That's a good description. Yes.
You know, and I was having dinner with my buddy Dave a few weeks ago, and I just drove back into my old neighborhood in Oakville. Not even the one the kids were little in, but the one, you know, in the divorced dad townhouse area. And even that, I had sort of a, you know, kind of a melancholy feeling of, oh, all this stuff took place, and it's an area of the city I'm never in anymore. I spent many years there, and now I'm not. And I don't know, when I go to those places, sometimes I have a sort of a feeling of, it's nostalgia, and it's nice, but also it's a little bit bittersweet, you know?
Bittersweet?
Yeah. And I wonder...
That you're no longer there.
Well, just that I was there, and this is what happened. Right. You know what I mean? Like, and that's why I say, I think about you going to the lake every weekend.
Well, look at it this way. Across from do you remember this much? Across from me, and just up is a red and white boathouse.
Okay.
At the edge of the channel that goes up past my place. Well, that was there when I was a kid.
Mm-hmm.
And whenever we went up the lake, we would get in our little boats with our 6-horsepower engines or whatever and drive up that channel past that boathouse. And it is still there all these years later. My children have gotten boats and driven past that boathouse. Now my grandchildren are in boats driving past that boathouse. So this creates an attachment now. Like, and remember, my mom and dad were there before me. So we're talking 4 generations of my family being on that lake. So I don't... So it just becomes part of your life that you don't even really think, you know, should I still be here? Do I want to still be here? Does it make sense to be here? It's just, here is part of my life.
Yeah, you know? and don't get me wrong. I'm not asking. Yeah. No part of my question was asking, why are you still there? I thought...
No, I know.
Yeah,
I know.
It was more like, because you are still there, it must create a lot of good feelings, but also some, you know, somewhat... Not sad. Anyway, we'll move on. Paul Romanuk's coming on here in a little bit. We'll talk a bit of sports. There's a story, of course, we didn't get to yesterday, but everyone's aware of, I'm sure, if you're a Raptors fan, that Leo Routens, friend of the show and broadcaster, no longer with the Raptors. Maybe we can talk that over.
Yeah, another thing announced yesterday, they've created this special designation for NBA players that are going to be allowed to come into Toronto unvaccinated and play at the Scotiabank Arena unvaccinated.
Come on.
And it's ruffling, well, especially when all the fans have to be vaccinated.
Yeah, I'd say.
Now, there's going to be strict restrictions. They have to come right to the hotel, stay in the hotel. They have to be tested every day. But the Raptors claim that they're one shot away from being 100% vaccinated, so that's good.
Yeah.
But again, it's just because there's some holdouts in the NBA, they've sort of created a way around the rules a bit. So,
well, I just want to say on behalf of everyone, that's bullshit. Romanuk standing by. Let's get to some work. Not work. It's our pleasure to talk about these fine folks. I'm talking Health Gauge right now, my friend. I've got my health gauge on last night. Phil, what would you say if you had to guess how many hours of sleep I had?
6 hours.
Higher.
7 hours.
Higher.
27 hours.
7.4, Phil, you ridiculous animal. That's how you can do it. It's not just about your sleep. Although monitoring it, it's nice to know because, you know, as a lifetime, you know, occasional insomniac, I was like, I'm assuming I only got 3 hours sleep, but I can see every day I'm actually getting more sleep than I thought, as well as calories burned, blood pressure, oxygen saturation, heart rate, pulse wave velocity. You know, you can, I sometimes during the show, just for funsies, I'll take my blood pressure. And as I told you the other day, this watch is very accurate. Like, I've tested it against the puffy sleeve or the blow-up sleeve at Shoppers, and it's bang on. You can get yours. The Health Gauge Phoenix is available. And the promo code HUMBLEFRED15, HUMBLEFRED15, gets you 15% off the Phoenix. Go to HealthGauge, it's HealthGauge.com. I say go to HealthGauge.com, Phil, and get it so you can use this information and stay healthier.
You know what I'll do today at noon? I have a stress test.
Uh-oh.
Maybe I'll wear my gauge and compare it to the results I'm getting.
You should.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm so jealous. You're getting a stress test today.
Yes, I asked for one, and then after that I sit down with a doctor who in my preliminary meetings seems obsessed with plant-based diets. Of course, that's not going to happen, but it'll be a very informative afternoon.
Wait. This is a new doctor?
Well, yeah, he's a cardiologist.
Oh, I see.
And we had a phone conversation because I had asked for all these tests, you know, and I told this story. They're reluctant to give you the tests unless there's something wrong with you. And I asked
for precautionary
reasons. You know, to be proactive, can I just have an update on my heart? Anyway, I talked to this guy, and he kept talking about plant-based diets. You should really look into that, and then gave me this website to go to, and it was, you actually had to pay for part of it. It was all
You're not doing that. No, listen, I went vegetarian for 14 months. It's a lot of work. I'm not saying it's not worth it, and I'm not, you know, people who are doing it, good for you. But I'm just telling you, it's a lot of work.
Life without a sausage, come on.
Oh, I had, you know, that funny thing about the plant-based industry is they've made advancements, and some of their faux sausages are pretty good, but it's,
yeah.
I'll say this, if the Beyond Meat burger existed in 2016 when I did this for a year, I may have been able to stick around longer, but it was I just missed the whole nitrates, and even though they're not good for you. Do you know, hey, by the way, we're about to introduce the Gig Sky guest of the day. Gig Sky guest of the day. Why don't we do something we've never done so far and talk about Gig Sky, then introduce the guest as opposed to going 20 minutes later. Oh, yeah, that was the guest.
Hey, we've been telling you Gig Sky's latest service offering includes mobile data while flying. When you're traveling on selected airlines and routes, you can get mobile data. Yes, you can, up there in the sky. GigSky.com/AeroMobile is where to go to see the list of partner airlines. You know, Gig Sky, the easiest, most affordable way to stay connected internationally, whether you're pulling up directions, looking for a restaurant, no matter where you are. The data is there in hand, and it's very reasonably priced. All Gig Sky data plans are prepaid with no contracts or recurring fees. You get what you pay for. Hey, they don't throttle either. Download the Gig Sky app today. Enter code HF2021 for $5 off your first plan, or go to GigSky.com for more information.
All right. I'm just waiting for Romanek to turn his microphone on, and then he's going to turn his... He's going to turn his camera on. Then he's going to turn us on.
Turn me on.
Romy, are you going to come on now?
I'm trying to.
Oh, there he is. There's Romy.
I hear him.
Yeah. He is, for many years, considered by us, by Humble and Fred. For many years, we've considered him the premier play-by-play voice that has been silenced. Most recently is the host of The Walrus Was Paul, where he does a deep dive with musicians about their favorite Beatles music. Let's begin with the end in mind. Little Stephen Covey reference for you people. Please welcome back to our program. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Paul Romanuk. I love this song. You know what I heard recently about this song?
What's that?
What's that?
Well, that it was originally part of the Sgt. Pepper collage. Or am I getting this wrong? Or no, it was Her Majesty. I thought this was one of those things where it was an add-on. They couldn't quite fit it into to some favorite. What is the story, Paul?
That was, you're thinking of the Her Majesty.
Her Majesty, that's right.
Which was part of the sort of the long side, as Paul McCartney called it, on side two. It came in originally after Mean Mr. Mustard.
So it was supposed to be on the Sgt. Pepper, right?
No, on side two of Abbey Road.
Oh, on side two of Abbey Road, okay.
Yeah, and what happened is when they were editing sequencing, they didn't like where it was. That's the big cymbal crash that you hear at the beginning of Her Majesty.
Well, let's hear it.
And there you go.
Her Majesty's a pretty nice girl, but she doesn't have a lot to say. Majesty's a pretty nice girl, but she changes from day to day.
26 second song, better than most things have ever been written.
So the story there is that originally came, I believe it was after Mean Mr. Mustard and before Polythene Pam or something in there. So it was taken out and just back in those days when you did physical tape editing, before, you know, long, long before digital editing, it was physically sliced off of the tape. Mm-hmm. And what they would do back then is they would put it on just at the end. So you'd save it. So you'd have it there just in case. And when it was being played back, the engineer had forgotten about it. And it was at the end of this tape and the album was over and they were sitting, oh, yeah, that was pretty good. It was pretty good, Paul. Yes. And whatever. I know you love when I do accents.
No, I do. I love it. It's amazing. It's all, I close my eyes. I feel like I'm in the room with the Beatles.
And then they heard it and went, that's great. Leave it on. And that's the story.
And just to finish this up, apparently, like you say, it was an afterthought. And if you listen to the actual vinyl record, it's quite late. Like it's almost like the disc ends.
Yes.
And then out of nowhere is this little, I guess now, Phil, they would call that like an Easter egg, right? Like a little, undiscovered gem or whatever.
It was called at the time, you know, a hidden track.
Right.
You know, a hidden track. So there you go.
Hey, Freddie, look.
It's lovely to be back, guys. Thank you for asking me on every once in a while. I really do enjoy it. So thanks.
Well, it's our pleasure, Freddie. Look, it's Paul Romanuk.
I know. Before we get into the Beatles stuff, can we ask you a couple of broadcasting questions?
Oh, well, you certainly can, Mr. Patterson, eminent broadcaster yourself.
Hmm.
Jim Hewson announced his retirement. I mean, whenever I hear of something like this, I think, oh, maybe they'll hire Romy back again, because Jesus Christ, we need Romy back doing play-by-play. Jim Hewson announced his retirement. Your thoughts on Jimmy? Do you know him? What's the deal here?
Yeah, I know Jim professionally. I haven't spoken to him. We're not really tight. I know him professionally, as I said, because of the simple fact that, you know, people ask, hey, what's Jim Hewson like? I say, well, I don't really know, because if I was there, Jim wasn't there.
Yeah.
We both did the same job. Mm-hmm. But having said that, you know, great broadcaster. Honored by the Hockey Hall of Fame. He's been in the big chair at Hockey Night in Canada for many years. And it's my understanding it was his decision to leave. And in terms of me going back, I would never go back and work for Rogers ever. They couldn't afford to pay me. They will not replace Jim.
You know, well,
Jim's,
who are they?
Yeah,
who
salary,
will replace?
They're happy to see it go out the door.
Chris Cuthbert appears to be the recipient of that chair. Am I?
How do both of you feel? How do you feel? Two questions for both of you, because I don't really follow it. I think I know that Fred Mann was not a huge Jim Hewson fan.
No.
But how do you feel about, who did you just mention, Cuthbert?
Chris Cuthbert.
Yeah.
He lives just down the street from me, as a matter of fact, here in Brampton.
Oh, fancy.
Yeah, pardon me?
You should get him on if he's just down the road.
Yeah, maybe we should. He'll come right up into my basement here.
Yeah.
No, he's a proud Bramptonian. To me, I really like it, because I like Cuthbert's work. I really do. And and again, Houston's fine. It just wasn't my first choice. But I what scares me at that level now, are they really going to go on the cheap? And not that Cuthbert is, but last night on TSN, I watched the Leafs preseason game, and the play-by-play kid on there was, you know, he really put on the sportscaster's voice, and I thought, has no one, did you hear it at all, Paul?
I did not. Watch it? But okay. Here's the thing.
Yes.
My 2 cents worth for what it's worth, and maybe it's just worth about that. But that hockey night in Canada that you and I grew up with, Fred, when hockey night in Canada was the best of the best, it was on at 7:30 or 8 o'clock on a Saturday night.
Right.
And it was the best producers, the best directors, the best commentators, the best looking show, the biggest games. It was the show. That's gone. It's gone forever, and it's gone for two reasons. Number one, because there is a saturation of hockey on the air. You can watch every single game now, and so we are inundated with hockey, so it's lost that special glitter. And the other reason is because it's now just turned into a plain old Rogers show. It could be on a Wednesday night, a Tuesday night. There's nothing. It's a plain old Rogers show, and it's not that special Saturday night thing anymore, and that's just the way the industry's changed.
Well, the reference I made was, it was TSN last night, and it was a kid, and it's just I you know, the way you learn in this business, you know, somewhere along the line somebody sits you down and says, stop trying to sound like an announcer and just do the play-by-play, you know that age-old out-of-the-box thing. When you're a kid, everybody wants to sound like an announcer. Like here he is on TSN doing a game, and it's like nobody's had that conversation with this guy.
And to be fair, I mean, we all started off doing impressions of broadcasters we admired to some greater or lesser degree, and at some point you kind of find your own voice. The what you just did, though, sounds a lot like Marv Albert. It's that affected sort of sports guy sound.
Oh, and Howard, I know we find our own way, but do you find your way on TSN national broadcast?
Maybe they were trying him out. Maybe he's got some promise. You know, Paul, you mentioned this. You know, again, I watched a lot of hockey. The most interested I ever was in hockey was, you know, late 60s, mid 70s with my dad watching hockey. It was such a special thing, but like a lot of things, you know, like there was a time when CBS was only allowed to broadcast the back nine of the Masters on Sunday versus, you know, the Ryder Cup starts at 8 o'clock in the morning on a Friday and you're getting 12 hours of coverage. Yeah, some of the specialness is gone, but I sense, and I could be wrong, a certain Rogers, you know, is it just if Rogers weren't doing the broadcast, is that a job you would like? Howard, why poke the Rogers bear?
Nah, it's and you know, and I don't. Hey, I still have lots of friends at Rogers, and there are lots of good people there, and in no way do the announcers, color people, broadcasters, producers, directors, in no way are they not aspiring to have that show be the best. That's not, they're doing their best. That shape or that direction comes from above their pay grade.
Yeah,
and that's
of course.
Just, you know, all you have to do is look at the history of the two sports channels. Look at TSN and look at Rogers Sportsnet. One has always been, you know, the ugly step cousin of the other. Always. TSN has always been the leader. Sportsnet has always been the follower. 'Tis ever been thus. I don't know why that is.
Yeah, but Sportsnet has all the properties. That's the strange thing.
Like they're more than halfway through their mandate of having the crown jewel of Canadian sports broadcasting, and that is Hockey Night in Canada, and that is the and what have they done to put their mark on it?
No, I get it. But they also have baseball exclusive.
5.2
exclusivity.
$5.2 billion. By the way, before I forget, and this is apropos of nothing, we were talking about Ken Burns on Smartless and the Alley documentary. Rob, one of our listeners, said, hey, boys, the Alley doc is on PBS on Sunday nights. Not sure how many have been released yet.
Right.
So there you go.
Howard, you mentioned the Masters just doing, you know, the final nine on Saturday and Sunday. I don't know if I, back in the 60s, Leaf games used to come on at 8:30 halfway through the halfway through the first period.
No, you told me that. I was like, what?
Yeah. And it used to drive us nuts as kids. Yeah. And then to get the score, we would actually phone Maple Leaf Gardens, and there was a woman that would actually pick up and give you the score. But imagine that. The game came on at 8:30, halfway through the first period. You have no way of getting it. Just think about now how easy it is to get a score instantly in your hand. You would have to phone the goddamn place to get what the score was before it came on television.
Hold on a second. So the game comes on midway through a period, and you call a number.
Mm-hmm.
I guarantee you that woman's name was Dottie, Betty, or maybe even Mabel, Ethel. So Ethel picks up the phone, Maple Leaf Gardens, and what do you say, Ethel? What's the score in the game?
Hey, what's the score of the hockey game? Now, it became a novelty because you could have put it on the radio and got it, but they had this number that if you wanted the score before 8:30, there you could phone and get it.
Oh, wow.
It was Toronto's first ever sports line.
Everything about it, though, Freddie, remember back in our day, as we switch into pure reminiscence mode here, when we used to, I was a baby reporter working for, I think, Broadcast News, which was the broadcast arm of the Canadian Press. So I go there and gather actualities, interviews after the games. And it was so funny because it was so Maple Leaf Gardens, as you'd go up to this little room about halfway up towards the broadcast booth, and there was this older lady, you know, Ruth, who could be your grandmother, who worked in there, and they served these little sandwiches that had been in the fridge for a couple of days with the crust cut off, and then you get a little urine sample size bottle of Coke. They wouldn't give you like a full Coke in a bit, and it was just so cheap. And Maple Leaf Gardens.
That was Harold
Ballard. Yeah.
He didn't like feeding the media like they did in other rinks. Or
didn't want a full sandwich.
Yeah, like at Exhibition Stadium, you go to a Jays game and it was a full hot meal. It was fabulous. You'd go to the Gardens and
you'd go to Buffalo. Buffalo back in those days, Fred. You'd go down there at the old Buffalo Odd. They had a beer cooler in the press box.
Yeah. Well, so did the Jays. Anyway, yeah.
Well, it is good to have you back, Paulie. I'm sorry we had to cancel your guest Fred appearance because of some golf. By the way, something keeps rubbing against, and I think it's Paul's microphone or something in your... We've had a couple of quick... just something was kind of clicking. Maybe your jacket or something. I didn't keep an eye on that. Okay. Paula has been spending his time doing what I think is a very unique... an interesting podcast, especially if you're a Beatles fan. But the concept, why don't you walk us through it? I know we've talked about it. It's called The Walrus Was Paul. You, of course, are Paul. And what's the concept? You get people on to talk about their favorite Beatles records or just Beatles in general. Explain to the people so that they might go and visit your podcast.
I hope they do. It's called The Walrus Was Paul, which if you're a Beatle person, you know, is a lyric from a song called Glass Onion on the White Album. So just a little riff on that. Here's another clue for you all. The Walrus Was Paul. What I do is there was a podcast that I originally heard. Excuse me. There you go. Here it comes. Oh. Here's another place you can go. Next verse.
Now, we all know this. Well, maybe we don't all know the story. There was a rumor. You want to talk about the conspiracy theory that Paul McCartney had somehow died, and people put all these clues together. And there was quite a kerfuffle there for a while in the culture in the 60s that somehow McCartney has died and that they had a stand-in Paul for him. Oh, because I remember one of the clues. You guys remember this? Because McCartney... Here we go. On the Abbey Road record, the picture, only McCartney is barefoot, and that's supposed to mean that he's dead.
Yeah, as a matter of fact, I believe there is a whole podcast on that. Not mine, but what I do is I have on Canadian music people, mostly musicians, but some authors and producers and so on. And it's a very simple concept. They choose their favorite Beatles or Beatles solo record, and we go through it track by track. And then we also weave in their career as well and how they may or may not have been influenced by listening to the Beatles. Had some great guests, Jim Cuddy and Colin Cripps from Blue Rodeo, Stephen Page from the Bare Naked Ladies, Stephen Stanley from The Lowest of the Low, just to name a few. And it's a lot of fun. And it's most musicians of that vintage love talking about the Beatles because they've been influenced by them. They're the most influential rock and roll band ever. And even younger musicians like Jerry Legere is a guy who I've had on. Weren't even born when the Beatles had split up, and yet they are still aficionados of the Beatles and the Beatles solo work. So there's lots to mine there in terms of conversation.
You talk about the Paul rumors or that whole controversy in the late 60s that he had died. You know, another piece of evidence I remember, you know, on Sgt. Pepper's, Paul's wearing, you know, that blue suit.
Yeah.
It's got an OPP badge, Ontario Provincial Police badge, like on the sleeve. And one of the stories went that they found a lookalike and he was an OPP officer.
Yeah.
So Canada, they found a lookalike and they brought him over. And of course, that was the clue. He had to bring his OPP badge.
That's right. That they were allowed to use him, but he had to identify.
He had to wear his
OPP. Honestly, for you people that, and I can't imagine there's anyone, but there might be a few people that are hearing about this for the first time. It really was kind of the first cultural kind of conspiracy theory, you know, and it seems harmless now compared to, I don't know, the election was stolen. You know, the vaccines are killing us. What, you know, Paul's not only a great sports broadcaster and a Beatles aficionado, but he's, you know, he's a guy with a great perspective and a liberal. Let's not get carried away.
The liberal alarm didn't go off at the start of the show.
You see, Paul, because I'm here and I'm kind of in between liberal conservative, sometimes I go back and forth. And I did see something I wanted. I'd save this for you, Paulie, because it just shows you, you know, and it works the same for the conservatives. You know, sometimes if you're, you know, a lot of liberal peoples can find nothing to like about conservatives and vice versa. But I don't know who this guy is. But it's a comment. I'm getting to a point here. It's a picture of Justin Trudeau welcoming back the two Canadians that were being held in China. And he at some, I don't know, it's midnight. And he goes to visit to welcome them back. And the big criticism from this guy is that he's wearing shirt sleeves rolled up. And that says, hates Justin Trudeau so much that his comment about the prime minister welcoming back some citizens is that Trudeau disrespected them by not wearing a jacket.
So when you welcome back prisoners, like, you should wear cufflinks? Like, what's the point?
Well, that is the point, that you hate Justin Trudeau so much that you overlook the fact that he's in the middle of the night not wearing his prime minister coat or whatever. Squad, he's got a tie, he's got his shirt sleeves rolled up. Romanek, what are your thoughts about these things these days?
I was just listening to the penetrating political analysis there. I was transfixed.
Oh, I know. It's really something.
Short sleeve discussion.
No, I know.
I follow you on Twitter, Humble. Freddie's a smart man and avoids the
social media,
lunatic bin of social media.
I only comment on two very specific things. All my tweets are either about golf or I hate fucking anti-vaxxers. That's pretty much it. That's my two silos.
It is the world is a crazy place right now. It's it is sad. And I do my best to try to live by this credo, gentlemen. There is nothing wrong with disagreeing politically with somebody. Nothing wrong at all. There was a time when you could agree to disagree. I will listen to what somebody else has to say. They may never change my mind. I may never change their mind. But I don't hate their guts. I don't think they're awful people. You know, this is what we see missing from U.S. politics. There was a time when you honored the result of the election. You worked with the other party. You acknowledged the mandate the people had given the government in power, be it Republican or Democrat. And you worked together to further. But, you know, you looked after your own interests, of course, on your side of the political spectrum. However, you did work with the government in power, and that's just gone now. We have a situation where a government comes into power and the other one goes, election was rigged, and we're going to do absolutely everything we can to not pass one single piece of legislation. And that's unprecedented. That never happened until, you know, until very recently.
See, this is another result of social media. It used to be an election would happen and it maybe could get nasty, run up to the election night, and then it's forgotten about. Then a government just goes about its business day to day to day to day. We weren't fueled with this nastiness on social media. So it never goes away. It just never, ever goes away. You know, yeah. Did you see Liz Cheney the other night on 60 Minutes? It was fascinating because she made the point. She says, you know, I don't like Joe Biden. I don't like the Democrats' policies. I think they're dangerous for America, but not nearly as dangerous as Donald Trump is.
And so, this is, oh, by the way, you know who her father was, right?
One of the most conservative, you know, backroom dealing, skullduggery.
But guys, this is the point here is putting the country first.
Yes.
And that doesn't happen anymore. And it's what you said, Paul. Governments used to work together. You would have the election. And again, you know, run up to the election. It was the regular political thing. And then the only information you ever got was maybe about policy or a law coming on the radio or something, if you took the time to actually open a newspaper. But now it's like they take it upon themselves. It's part of the game now to spew this constant barrage of criticism every day through social media. And it's just it's created this polarization that it ain't ever going away.
Well, it kind of goes. It gets back to what
where
Paul,
are we going?
It gets back to what Paul was saying about how special hockey night in Canada used to be. Okay, so maybe it's Fred's mic, but somebody's mic is...
Not mine.
Okay.
I'm not touching it.
Okay.
I don't know. Anyway.
But you'll hear it later when you listen back.
Okay.
So when you were talking about how special hockey night in Canada once was, it's sort of allegorous or whatever, and it's similar to people used to watch the news at night. They might read a newspaper, but for the most part, people were not informed. They barely, and the second thing is most people didn't vote. Statistically, you know, half the country, Canada, US, doesn't vote. And so most people kind of, as Fred said, kind of went blithely along. Maybe something would happen. They'd hear about it. But what happened with the explosion of not just social media, but 24-hour news.
And
then the late 80s saw the end of the Fairness Act, or whatever that was called, the doctrine that allowed right-wing media to just rise up and spew this nonsense 24/7. So what's happened is it's gossip. And you know how human beings love gossip. And bad news travels fast. So what we're involved now in is a giant gossip factory. And a lot of it is disinformation, yes, for purposes that are nefarious and partisan. But the problem is we're so inundated, Paul, with gossip every day. It's hard to know what to separate. And it's more, as I think Fred's made this point, too, it's more about what side you're on than what side's right for the greater good.
Mm-hmm. You know, and you're right about the 24-hour newsreel. It started with that. If you took the time to sit down in front of a television. But the problem nowadays, it's with us 24 hours. Every waking hour, it's in our hand, basically, for most people.
Yeah.
It just doesn't go away. And again, the way Facebook works and Twitter, I mean, depending on what channel you're on or what group you're within.
Who you follow.
You're just getting one-sided shit from every waking hour of the day.
So, Paula, you're a politically minded person. So, just a couple. What are your thoughts about what's been said so far? And do you have any hope? Is there any hope for all of us, Paul? Should we just like try and swan through the next 20 years and then peace out on the planet? Or,
oh man, who knows if I had the answer to that, right? But I do agree with Freddie and you as well, Howard. I mean, I think. if you want to look at the sea change, it was the changing of the Neutrality Act. Ronald Reagan did that in the United States, and that allowed the birth of organizations like Fox News and CNN. The other big one was Rolling News or 24-hour news, 24/7, because as they say in the broadcast business, you got to feed the beast. So you're on the air all the time. There's not just the news at 6 o'clock. And you need content. So as a result, what happens, and we've all been there, I've certainly been there on the sports side, because you do have to fill time, you will quite often get a situation where something has happened and all the information isn't in. So you get a host who's not fully apprised of everything going on, with a couple of guests who aren't fully apprised of everything that's going on, and you get three people talking out of their ass for 20 minutes or a half an hour, making shit up, right? Like, it, you know, that happens with 24-hour news. And then the hat trick of the whole thing is social media. And, you know, there was a piece in, I think it was the New York Times, although it might have been the Wall Street Journal. It was one of those two big papers about how the Facebook algorithm rewards, in terms of bumping things up, what do they call it? Meaningful engagement, which is just code for anger. And what gets the most anger? It's discussion of political topics. So those angry things that people talk about. If I, you know, my Beatles page doesn't get pushed up in the Facebook algorithm because people are going, yeah, man, I like the way McCartney plays bass on that song or whatever.
Yeah.
What gets pushed up is Hillary's running a pedophile out of a pizza shop right. in Des Moines, Iowa. Boom. And that's Facebook does that to us.
Sure.
You know, so those are all the ingredients in the stew, if you will. And it doesn't taste very good right now.
And we've never seen anything like it. I mean, we're all of a certain age. You know, you're younger than we are, but not by much. And again, going back to the beginning of this discussion and how special tuning in to the last night of the Masters or halfway through hockey night in Canada, the Leafs would be playing. And now, as you say, Freddie, you know, you can walk around with the news every minute of every day. Mm-hmm. And it's and to Paul's point, it's pushing. What pushes is bad news, and bad news travels fast. Back to my point about gossip. People don't gossip about, yeah, that's right, McCartney was fantastic on that song. People gossip about, I heard he was dead and he worked for the OPP, you know?
Paul, if you want a boost in your ratings, why don't you start a rumor like Paul's banging Yoko or something and just see what happens?
Yeah, for sure.
Just see what happens.
Yeah, your whole
start
thing,
this rumor,
you
yeah.
should just change gears, and yeah. your thing should be the Walrus was Paul, and he started a pedophile ring with Yoko, yeah. and Sean and yeah. The other Lennon, they're actually his kids.
Yeah.
yeah. The Walrus was
Paul. That'd get you a ranking.
Paul's podcast is available wherever you find podcasts. We were discussing our 10th anniversary, which is coming up in a couple of weeks, of doing a podcast. And
I can't believe it's been 10 years.
Well, and in podcasting terms, that's like we're like it's like 50 years. Like we've been doing it so long and so many episodes. And one of the things I said about us is the sort of what got us to this point is we were just old radio guys that only knew doing a show every day, and it was kind of this work ethic that we both brought to the project. What are your thoughts about how often do you do it? How often do you want to do it? Is it something just a hobby? Are you looking to monetize it?
I would love to. If you can, and perhaps you guys have, you've clearly had more success than I have. That's a conundrum of, you know, it's just a tiny, tiny sliver of the hundreds of thousands of podcasts out there are, make money. Mine isn't one of them. Right now, it's something that I enjoy doing. I love talking music, and I love talking to musicians, and so it's sort of a pet project, and I really enjoy it. People do make donations. I solicit for donations on my
like
webpage.
Just like food, non-perishable food items, or
yeah, just support the podcast.
What,
you know?
Is it like powdered milk? Is that what you're asking for?
UNICEF food rations, anything. Just send it along.
Freddie,
send it along.
Send Paul some macaroni.
I will. Damn it.
No, I love it. I'd love to do one every week, but I don't think I'd take that step until I was actually making money doing it. Right now, I do it for fun, so I drop a new episode every couple of weeks. You can find all the information at the podcast website, which is RomyCast, RomyCast.com. You can follow me on Twitter, RomanuckPaul. And yeah, as you said, Howard, you can find the podcast wherever fine podcasts are served. But I really enjoy doing it. And it's pretty well received. Everyone's talking about it. Mm. You know that, Howard?
Of course. Yes, of course. Everyone is saying, Howard, have you heard the RomyCast? Yes, fantastic. But
I think I need that special, Humble and Fred podcast monetization course taught by your two maestros, Howard Glassman and Frederick Patrick.
It's coming.
Oh, it's coming. Yeah,
sure. Once we can rent rooms and hotels again.
We're going to start putting on our seminars with
Salon B.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, with whiteboards. We've got some nice whiteboards being ordered. That's right, with stickers.
So Paul, when you're not doing the podcast, how are you filling your days? Writing books, writing children's books and what have you?
The newest edition of Hockey Superstars, which is an annual that I've done for the good people at Scholastic. I've been doing it for 30 years. The latest edition is in book fairs everywhere and also to order at Amazon.ca online. I've sold millions of copies over 30 years. It's a joy to do. I love hearing from the kids. And I'll probably do that for another year or so. So, yeah, that keeps me busy. And, hey, to be honest, guys, I've knocked on a few doors, but I think I said this last time we were on. We live in an era of diversity, equity, and inclusion, particularly everywhere, but particularly in the broadcast world. And there are past injustices that need to be balanced, and it's finding its feet right now. And a 60-year-old white guy is not a hot commodity in the broadcast business. That's just a fact.
No. But I'll tell you what, you always have a place here. You know, and I feel your struggle. I mean, I'm hoping one day Jewish people will be included in comedy, Paul, because I think right now we've been for the most part, it's been a glass ceiling for the Jewish people in comedy, and we're hoping to break through at some point.
I can't remember the last Jewish comedian who I heard.
No, I know. Where are all the Jewish comedians?
I don't know.
The Walrus was Paul, everyone, his podcast, and like I said, you always have a place here. I do hope that, I don't know, it's tough getting a golf in now, but why don't you send me a note today, and maybe we can arrange a nine-holer over at your joint there in the next few weeks.
Would love to. I've been after you.
I know.
I've been after you.
I know. Listen, I have a tournament Thursday. That's the last round of significance I'll play this year. The rest of it is just nonsense. So let's do it. Paul Romanek, follow him on Twitter as I do, and check out his podcast. Thanks, my friend.
Thanks, guys. Always a pleasure. Thank you so much.
Goddamn Romanek, eh? How good a guy is he?
Isn't that what got Tiger Woods in trouble, a nine-holer?
All right. Listen, the retirement Sherpa, Fred, I'm going to tell you a little story about him.
All right.
You know, for a lot of Humble and Fred listeners, they've been sort of acquainting themselves with Tim Niblett, the retirement Sherpa. I don't know if we stress this enough, but if you want to find out more about Tim, retirementsherpa.ca. The program is a unique process that you can follow. And yeah, listen, there's all sorts of metrics and all sorts of advice, but really it comes down to something. I think you mentioned this. How comfortable are you with the person who's handling your retirement income? What's your comfort level with the kind of service you're getting from that person? Well, I can tell you, as can a lot of Humble and Fred listeners and friends, that you will get not only great advice, but you couldn't find a better guy to sort of shepherd you or Sherpa you through this multifaceted, complex, he makes it seem simple, process about making sure you will have a comfortable and prosperous retirement. The Retirement Sherpa, not the, retirementsherpa.ca. And Fred Z, we've been talking a little bit about sports. Of course, there was Ryder Cup betting. There's always NFL betting. And the Jays, and I don't want to put you on the spot, but the Jays are about to start a three-game series with the Yankees. Or did that start last night?
No, it starts tonight. Yeah, we haven't talked about it yet, and I'll tell you, I'll probably have three or four excitement dumps today, each time I think about it, because I just sort of get this, I get the, you know, this heebie-jeebie feeling. When
Because
this is the nitty-gritty, man. Like, this is the season tonight. And listen, thank you, Toronto Blue Jays, for making September such a fun ride this year. And it really has been. Even if they fall short, I mean, it's been fantastic. And tonight, for game one of the series, the Jays are actually favored by a run and a half. Okay? Which is encouraging. The Yankees pay $104 if they win. We got to keep our eyes on the Red Sox as well, because the Jays are just one game back of the Red Sox. They're two back of the Yankees. The Red Sox are 1.5 favored over Baltimore, but the Orioles pay $220 to win, which is quite lucrative. And looking ahead to Thursday night, the Thursday night NFL game, a 7.5 pick, Cincinnati Bengals over the pathetic Jacksonville Jaguars. Whether you're a sports bettor, a horse racing fan, a poker or casino player, Bodog, your number one source of online gambling entertainment, from their industry-leading odds, world-class sportsbook, and feature-rich poker room, to their fully loaded casino and racebook, they've been providing Canadian players with an unparalleled gaming experience since 1994. And again, for single event wagering, go to bodog.eu/sports.
Nice. You know, yesterday was interesting because we're like the first time we've had, you know, a conversation in the cannabis world. And here we are, you know, rounding up another one. Michael Krystal is the executive chairman of Dynaleo. Am I getting that right? Dynaleo?
Yeah, that's pretty good.
Yep. How you doing? Michael, yeah. I'm Howard. That's Fred. Phil's over there. Hello, in his Michael. Basement.
Hey, good morning, everybody.
Michael is... where do we find you today, sir?
Today, I'm in Toronto. We manufacture all of our delicious gummies in Edmonton.
Oh, you do? Oh, that's why I figured, because I'm from Western Canada. I thought we were going to, like, bond about being Western Canadians, but that's fine. Yesterday, we had a conversation about the unpredictability, and let's just be honest, of edibles. A lot of people, regular cannabis users like me, sometimes get a bit nervous when it comes to dosing. And what I like from reading about what Dynaleo has done is you're bringing what's called the Pocket Fives. They're very, very, it seems like they're very segmented. Maybe you can talk a little bit about both people who are a little bit hesitant and how you guys have addressed that issue.
Yeah, listen, first of all, thanks for having me. Everybody has that experience. Not everybody, but if you use cannabis and use edibles, everybody has the experience or knows the experience of somebody who just had too much and they just got like locked in the couch and they weren't expecting it and they didn't know what to do.
That's true.
And it became a problem, right? And I think that is reflective a lot of the way that, you know, edibles used to be. But today, fast forward to where we are in this legalized market where everything is like consistently prepared, precisely dosed. I mean, we do testing on our batches down to like the 10th of a milligram, if not even more specific than that. And so you know exactly what you're getting. So we know if we say there's 1 milligram of THC or 2 milligrams of THC or 5 milligrams of THC, which is what's in the Pocket Fives, you know you're going to be getting exactly that. And that allows for, I think, for a much more predictable, you know, user experience.
Yeah, and that's the word we used, Freddie, yesterday, that a lot of times with edibles, there's an unpredictability and a nervousness around them. I know I am, because like every, you know, I remember edibles back in the early days before legalization. And then, of course, now, what I like about what you've said, and I've done some reading here, that when you say there's like in the Pocket Fives, there's 5 milligrams of THC in each piece. And it's only $5, which is also one of the things you're addressing is not only the predictability, but the affordability.
Yeah, that's exactly it. So we're just trying to create this incredible consumer experience. And it starts, you know, with the gummies itself, which I think are delicious. We love the Blue Raspberry Pocket Fives, and it's getting rave reviews. It's a pectin-based product, so there's no gelatin in it. So it's, you know, it's vegan-friendly. And then you're right about affordability. So, you know, being able to bring this fantastic product in at that price point really opens up the potential for edibles use to a whole different, you know, set of consumers within the market.
So you just get to know what your level is and then be able to reach for this and know that, it, again, it's measured in a proper situation where no surprises whatsoever.
Yeah, it's, you know what, people talk about, you know, like go low, go slow. You hear that a lot mm-hmm. about edibles. And for yeah. sure, you kind of got to find your level. But it's the same way, you know, you wouldn't, you know, the first time that you go drinking, I don't recommend having 12 tequilas.
No,
You probably want to start with one, right? Yeah.
Yes.
Kind of see where you end up.
Go very slow with tequila.
Right. So you got to go, you got to know your own body. You got to know mm-hmm. how you react. You got to be, you know, and you got to plan for it too, because it is an intoxicating substance. So you want to yes. make sure that you're not, you know, setting yourself up for a bad situation.
I want to talk about 5 milligrams of THC right now. And I don't know, I won't mention the company because I can't remember it, but I take a CBD gummy about an hour before I go to bed. It's got 10 milligrams of CBD. I think there's like a milligram of THC. At 5 milligrams of THC, what kind of experience would the end user expect to have? How much? When does it come on? How high or so? Yeah, I know how everyone metabolizes it differently.
Everybody metabolizes differently, but I would say at 5 milligrams of THC, if you're using it for the first time, it's really kind of it's difficult to say. But you know, I would liken something like that to, you know, maybe like 3 or 4 glasses of wine over a couple hours period of time, and mm-hmm. you're probably going to feel the effects within kind of 20 to 45 minutes after you take it. And speaking of the CBD, I hope the product you're taking is another one of our company's products. We manufacture CBD gummies under the DynaThrive line, mm-hmm. and we have apple cider vinegar and pomegranate, two amazingly selling flavors here in Toronto as well. And I tell you, my mom's taking it, right? She takes it before she goes to bed. You know, she's reporting all sorts of, it's all anecdotal, of course. But again, you know, I hear all these stories about people like, you know, I'm sleeping better. Like, I don't have as much pain in the morning when I wake up. And so I think we're just starting to learn so much about this, like, wonderful, you know, about cannabis and the many different ways that it can help people. So it's not all about just taking edibles and, like I said, you know, watching a movie and passing out halfway through. There's a lot of other use cases for it that people are finding as well. And CBD is a perfect example of it.
Yeah, I totally agree.
Well, yeah. And that's sort of quite a breakthrough. You mentioned your mother. My mother-in-law has just started using CBD oil too, and it took a while to talk her into it, because yeah. they make this connection, you know, from, well, you know what the connection is,
right?
And you got to get them over that hump, and it's really helped her over the past couple of weeks. The story about her walking in the pot store in Kitchener is a story unto itself. But really, she did it. She went in on her own, and they were very helpful with her, and it's really helped her a lot with what was bothering her.
Yeah, I'll tell you, it's like one of the best parts about this industry is actually getting mm-hmm. into the retailers and talking to the budtenders, yeah. talking to customers. And, you know, it's amazing, actually. And you see just like how wide the spectrum is that cannabis is, being used by. So everything, mm-hmm. like we're in a store downtown working a shift at the neighborhood joint where you can get our products as well. And we saw everything from 18-year-olds with longboards to, you know, 70-plus, you know, coming in to buy the CBD, and mm-hmm. everything from all demographic in between. And it's fascinating, actually, to see what's happened even just this very kind of short period of time.
You know, I couldn't agree with you more. You know, Michael, if legalization has done anything, it's shown that the spectrum of users of marijuana for a long time has been very diverse, and not just as, you know, 18-year-old longboarders. I can tell you, everyone has a story. Like, I've been taking CBD in some form or another in the last couple of years, and I have definitely reduced the amount of Aleve and anti-inflammatories. I don't take any sleeping medication. And I can tell you that, you know, with your CBD gummies, the DynaThrive, the effects are very subtle, but, you know, over time, I think they really are impactful, especially as people age and want to maybe not take medication. So let's just say we got the Pocket Fives, we got Sun Shower, and they are 2 milligrams and 1 milligram micro doses. What kind of a edible is only 2 milligrams?
Yeah, so this gets back to how we kind of started off around that predictability and how the product can be used. So, you know, being able to, you know, take, you know, 1 milligram at a time, or 2 milligrams at a time in a microdose like that, it becomes a very different use case. And it becomes something that can be taken, you know, throughout the day, you know, so you're going down to the beach and you don't necessarily want to, you know, take all 10 milligrams at once and, you know, and you'll be stuck in that lawn chair, but you want to be able to walk around like with your dog, go in the water, enjoy the day and, you know, spend a day at the cottage, you know, with your friends and you know, do it obviously in a very safe way. But so it just allows for, you know, like a lower level experience, but it can kind of be with you, you know, throughout the day. And also we find another way that we find people using it. And I'll go back to my mom. Hi, Marcy.
Quick shout out to her.
Yeah, right. So along with her CBD gummies, she'll take a couple milligrams of THC as well. And so she finds that that effect of combining them, but she doesn't want to take 5 or 10 milligrams because, you know, that's just be too much, right? So people, so just, you know, I love the fact that there are options for everybody now in this industry. Like you said, everything from, the user who really just wants to, you know, have that intoxicated experience to people who can, you know, microdose and just have that edge taken off throughout the course of the day, and without, you know, necessarily, you know, worrying about, you know, being too high.
So let's check out the brands are Sunshower, DynaThrive, and Pocket Fives, and they are available now. Are they available across the country or just across the GTA?
Yeah, available across the country. So we sell in BC, Alberta, Ontario, Manitoba, Saskatchewan, the Yukon, and you get our products medically in Quebec. And, you know, in Ontario here, you can buy them online through at ocs.ca, but that's one way. But my preferred way, and I really recommend to everybody, is get out into your stores, go find your local retailers, talk to them, get educated. The bud tenders are extremely knowledgeable. We and all of our competitors, and not just in edibles, but we all spend, all the companies are spending a lot of time educating the people that are working in the stores, because the people working in the stores, it's that direct link to the consumer. So I would encourage, you know, people that, you know, go to the neighborhood joint, find a Suprette store, Scarlet Fire, Honey Pot, One Plant. There's a whole bunch of stores that carry our products, and get out there and talk to people and ask questions.
Okay, man.
And good.
Sounds great.
Thanks for dropping in this morning. We appreciate it. And thanks for educating us even further on this wonderful world that is available to all of us. I just have this vision of a group of senior citizens. You know, Fred and I are in our 60s. The next 20 years is just a bunch of old people there sitting around being high and have forgotten all their passwords for everything. I can't get on the Google. Hey, Michael, thanks, man.
Thanks, everybody. Have a great day.
Mike. All right, take care. That is Michael Krestel, the executive chairman of Dynalo Inc., talking about CBD gummies. Does your mom take a CBD, Phil? Get your mom on the CBD.
She'd probably benefit from it.
I'm telling you, Rachel's mom's on it. She's been using it. You know, Rachel does a CBD and THC tincture at bedtime for a better rest. And I can tell you, I've taken 10%, excuse me, maybe around, I'm down to about 10% of the anti-inflammatory medication that I would typically take in a golf summer. Don't take Aleve anymore and Advil very rarely now. I just think it's better for you.
Well, that's part of the thing, getting people to get their minds around it who traditionally, you know, didn't smoke pot, didn't take any type of drug, but didn't hesitate to take their pharmaceuticals. And that's a lot of older people, like my mother-in-law. It's like, you know, that's connected to marijuana in some form, so I'll just take my pharmaceuticals.
Well, can you tell the story about her going to the weed store? Is that too long? Or
no, that's basically it. The thing is, you know, she was, since my father-in-law died, a little anxiety, couldn't sleep, didn't feel right, and again, wasn't that thrilled about, you know, taking pharmaceuticals or whatever they might prescribe to her in a situation like that. So we kept telling her, you should try CBD. And one day she just took it upon herself to park the car in front of the place and walk in all on her own, because she actually had wanted one of us to go with her, but not that I would be of great use, but just to be there with her when it was all explained to her. Anyway, the point is she did it on her own one day, and it was just a fabulous experience. It was this place in Kitchener, and you know, the young people in there were fantastic with her. She told her story, and they prescribed what they thought, and she's used it, and the results have been great.
I'm not surprised.
It's just when she called and told Delia she had gone into the shop all on her own. I mean, that was cause for chuckles. I mean, there will be a day where it won't be a funny thing, right?
It's going to be, it's so commonplace. Like I said, as we age, we're in the end of the baby boom. We're like, whatever, Jenner, well, you're a baby boomer, but I'm right at the end of it. But there's going to be the next 20 years is all of us, I think, availing ourselves of products that are not pharmaceutically based. Mm-hmm. Sorry, Big Pharma. Rachel's mom, who's going through some treatments for something, was having trouble sleeping, same as your mother-in-law. Mm-hmm. And on the second night of her not being able to get any rest, Rachel recommended some CBD. And, you know, it's a miracle drug. It's just, it works with your body's system to give you better rest. It just does. And you're not taking, you know, either prescribed sleep medication, which is horrible for you, or over-the-counter stuff, which I think is even worse. I used to take it all the time. Yeah. You know, that's another thing I haven't done in a couple years, is taken any of that medication that I used to take. You know, but I do. Yeah, okay, so you could say, well, yeah, maybe you take a CBD gummy. Yeah, but it's better for you. Mm-hmm. Besides making me sleep better, I just feel my body feels better. The inflammation, mm-hmm. You know, I hit a lot of golf balls in the summer. I'm on my elbows, my shoulders, they just don't hurt like they did. You know? Anyway. Mm-hmm. What do you want to do? Are we done? It seems like we're done.
We didn't talk a lot today about masking and vaccines, which is good. You know, we mentioned off the top, we had lunch with our sweet colleague,
former sales manager
Bill Hertz, yesterday. And, you know, he spends a lot of time in San Miguel de Allende, Mexico. And he said, you know, since he's been back for a couple of months, the one thing driving him nuts is the overload of COVID information. Like, it's just, you know, and I had to agree with him on some level. I mean, it just dominates the news now, and it's almost like, give me a bit of a break. And but what do you do about a situation like that? Like, you know, being down in Mexico in San Miguel, you don't get a lot of that. Number one, the language thing, maybe access to news services, whatever that may be. But he's just noticed since he's got back in Ontario, like every newscast is dominated with, you know, anti-vaxxers and anti-maskers and what's the count today and what's the doom and gloom forecast and on and on and on. So my point is maybe sometimes we talk about it too much. I don't know. Are people sick of it? Can we afford to be sick of it?
Well, yeah, I'm glad we didn't do much of it today because it's just, you know, sometimes it gets to be like when we went through our Trump phase. But as far as Bill living where he's living for most of the year now, it's kind of like when you were talking just now, it reminded me a little bit of you pulling away from social media. If you choose judiciously, mm-hmm. you can choose not to expose yourself to any of that information. Mm-hmm. And continue on with your life quite nicely. And that's what he's done. You know, he's a man in his late 70s. Yes, he's very, very good shape, beat us both. But, you know, he's chosen, like, okay, this time of my life, you know, I'm vaccinated. The people around me are safe. His family and his grandkids are safe. So, you know, it's not a bad experience not to, you know, get down in the muck every day. And you might, I mean, mental health wise, it might make you feel better.
Well, a good education today, they're going to have whatever they call it. There's going to be another projection for the next few months. I forget what the word they use for that. Ontario Science Table set to release new COVID-19 projections today. Yes. Well, the ones they released in the summer, it's turned out to be a lot better than they thought. So you just wonder how much stress did people go through when those projections said it was going to be a lot worse, and ultimately they're not. I don't know.
Yeah, but the stress of the reason they are better is because we all took, you know, more precaution and were
based on those projections. Yeah, you're exactly. Right. That's what I'm saying.
And that's why it's better.
Yeah, exactly.
Because if they had said, hey, everything's fine, it's unicorns and butterflies,
then we'll be Alberta and we'll have 13,000 cases a day.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Alberta has, well, in Canada yesterday, there was only 4,300 cases. So Alberta can't have 13,000.
No. It would be by capita, of course. Ontario's pretty big.
All right. Yeah. Thanks to Paul Romanek, and thanks to everyone. Noel, you know what? We'll get back into the Trump stuff tomorrow. Noel Castler will be our guest. Philly, Cocoa Puff.
This episode of Humble and Fred is brought to you by the Retirement Sherpa, Gig Sky, the Chambers Plan, Health Gauge, Go Dog, and our newest sponsor, Doer, D-U-E-R, the world's most comfortable pants. We stream to the planet from the remote headquarters of the Humble and Fred Show. More Humble and Fred tomorrow and online at humbleandfred.com.